32. The grand hall of the golden castle of Camelot echoed with hushed conversation and the rustling of bodies. One would have had to listen closely to hear the telltale signs that the sound was recorded, piped in on a loop as part of a simulation. Looking at the crowd, their artificial nature was more obvious. Their heights and genders varied, but all wore identical skin-tight black bodysuits and had black hair and unnaturally blue eyes. People filled the entirety of the main floor, save for an aisle down the middle of the hall and a raised stage at the end, where a small group of people stood in two diagonal lines, flanking a large set of double doors. The imitation crowd stood at attention. None flinched when, without warning, the piped-in crowd sounds were replaced with the Brian Eno-composed theme from the 1984 David Lynch movie Dune, a ponderous cluster of four power chords played with tremendous drama. Martin walked out onto the stage wearing a replica Fremen stillsuit from the film, a bumpy black bodysuit just like those the artificial witnesses wore. In the movie and the book, the suits recycled a person's bodily fluids, but in reality just made the wearer look more muscular than they actually were, which was enough. Martin nodded to his friends, all of whom were either standing on the stage or sitting in the front row. He then turned and looked to the doors at the far end of the hall. The doors opened and Gwen stepped through wearing an elaborate gown with a large, exaggerated collar, intricately decorated with gold embroidery. As she walked down the aisle, fake Fremen turned to watch her pass. Power chords echoed through the rafters. She reached the raised platform at the end of the hall and ascended the golden stairs until she stood beside Martin. Gwen cast her eyes over their friends, smiling.
"I feel weird not wearing a stillsuit. That's what Sean Young wore in the movie."
Martin shook his head.
"No, if you read the books, this is more accurate to Frank Herbert's original vision. Besides, you wouldn't have gotten to wear that dress."
Gwen looked down at her gown.
"Yeah, and I did have a lot of fun making it."
The music changed from the theme from Dune to an ominous-sounding orchestral sting. A panel on the wall at the back of the stage slid to the side, and what appeared to be a gigantic aquarium slid out onto the stage. Large, clear panels of glass, edged with ornately carved black edges, revealed an interior filled with sickly-looking yellow smoke. Deep inside the smoke, something seemed to stir. The vapors swirled and streamed past the glass, then parted as a giant, fleshy mass revealed itself. Its bulbous, misshapen head held two tiny eyes on the sides of the cranium and a small, twisted mouth that spewed more of the foul-looking orange gas each time it opened. Making a noise that wasn't so much a voice as an articulate rumble, the creature said,
"People of Arrakis, members of the Padishah Emperor's royal court, honored Fremen warriors, we are gathered here together to join this man and this woman in matrimony. But first, a few words on the subject of love. True love, that blessed arrangement, that dream within—"
Gwen whispered,
"Poor Philip, he looks so sad."
Martin looked and had to agree. Philip stood in the traditional best man's position next to Martin, wearing a gray military uniform, oversized fake eyebrows, and a painted-on purple stain around his lips. He saw that Martin was looking at him and smiled gamely, but his heart wasn't in it.
"Yeah," Martin said. "He's still taking everything awfully hard. At least Britt's bad mood plays into her costume."
Britt the Younger stood by Gwen's side wearing a robe that covered her completely from the flat-topped hat she wore on her head all the way to the floor, exposing only her face and the blue contact lenses in her eyes. The fleshy blob in the tank continued.
"Do you, Martin, heir of Duke Leto Atreides and leader of the Fremen, Kwisatz Haderach, take this woman to be your wife for political purposes?"
Martin said,
"I do."
"And do you, Gwen, daughter of the Padishah Emperor Shaddam IV, take this man to be your husband for political purposes?"
Gwen said,
"I do."
Philip stepped forward and opened a polished wooden box. Inside, on a velvet cushion, there were two simple wedding bands. Philip muttered,
I was surprised that they don't look like the Duke's signet ring.
Gwen said, I told them if they did, I'd put them both on and punch him with them.
The blob in the smoke tank said,
By the power vested in me as a third stage guild navigator, I now pronounce you husband and wife. This never happened. I was never here.
The tank receded back into the wall and the panel slid back into place. Martin kissed Gwen as the theme from Dune again blasted through the hall. All of the simulated Fremen warriors stood at attention and held their kris knives aloft in salute. Martin turned to Gwen and whispered,
You've made me the happiest man in the world. By marrying you, or by marrying you like this?
A single tear rolled down Martin's cheek.
Both.
Martin and Gwen's friends, who weren't already on the stage, ran up to congratulate the happy couple. Jeff, Roy, and Tyler wore identical stiff-necked dark blue military uniforms. Roy had a fake scar on his cheek, while Jeff had a small diamond painted on his forehead. They vigorously shook Martin's hand and just as vigorously hugged Gwen. Philip arched an oversized eyebrow at Gary, who kept his distance, standing alone at the corner of the stage.
Come on over, Gary. It's not like you to be shy.
Gary looked down at his flesh-toned muscle suit and blue Speedo adorned with Art Deco wings.
I don't know. This outfit, it's kind of making me want to not get too close to other people. It feels rude, somehow.
Philip nodded.
I can understand that.
Gary laughed.
Oh, well. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
No, Philip said. Not really.
Britt the Younger hugged Gwen, completely enveloping her in fabric and hitting her in the forehead with her big flat hat. She shook Martin's hand.
I can't wait to take off this ridiculous outfit. The blue contacts I kinda like, though.
Martin said, they suit you. Philip said,
yes, very becoming.
Britt the Younger's smile curdled. She curtly congratulated Martin, then walked away. Martin said,
it'll take time, Philip. Britt the Elder said, yes, it will.
Martin and Philip both spun around to look behind them, where Britt the Elder stood in a black and gold dress, a bald cap, and a black headdress clamped to the sides and back of her head. Britt the Elder said,
It will take quite a while. But in time, Britt will forgive you, and even think of you as a friend.
Philip said,
A friend?
Yes.
Britt the Elder put a hand on Philip's shoulder.
I said she'd forgive, but she won't forget. And she'll never truly trust you again. And really, since you cheated, can you blame her?
Philip said,
But I never.
Britt the Elder held up a hand and gave him a disappointed look.
Don't, Philip. Just don't bother.
Philip and Martin watched as she walked away, shaking her head. Gary finally overcame his shyness and shook Gwen's hand.
Congratulations. I gotta say, I'm surprised you agreed to this.
Gwen said, yeah, well, we'd talked a little bit about getting married someday. Then the whole thing with the Brits and Philip showed us that a lot can happen we don't expect, and that by putting off marriage, we were kind of giving fate more of an opportunity to screw it up for us.
Gary said,
yeah, I see what you mean. But I wasn't talking about that. I always figured you two would get married. I'm surprised you agreed to the whole Dune thing. Most women seem to want a more traditional ceremony.
Oh, we're going to have one of those, too. We're going to take a quick trip to Alaska and use Britt the Elder's trick to get Martin up to my time, lay some plausible groundwork for appearance's sake, then have a big wedding for our families.
Oh, Gary said, I can see that. And it makes sense why none of us are invited to that one.
Britt the Younger, Jeff, and Philip looked at their shoes or the ceiling. Tyler said,
Yeah, none of us.
Gwen changed the subject.
So I guess now it's time to go back to Martin's place for the reception.
Martin said, Not yet.
There are a couple more things to do here before we go. I know entertainment and refreshments are usually done at the reception, but I know we're all going to change back into normal clothes, and I wanted to do this while we were in costume.
Martin opened the wooden box he kept his smartphone in and jabbed at the phone a few times. All of the fake Fremen disappeared. Martin smiled.
Gwen, get ready to cut the cake.
A table appeared on the floor in front of the stage. On the table, there was a punch bowl full of clear fluid, with a fake baby sandworm floating in it, and a large themed cake,
a fondant and gum-paste sculpture of a sandworm cresting a sand dune, its three-flapped mouth open, displaying thousands of white-painted candy corn teeth as it towered over tiny little modeling chocolate men. Finally, floating in the air about 10 feet above the floor, there appeared a piñata, shaped like Baron Harkonnen. In the upper gallery, Gilbert, Sid, and their two teenage assistants looked down as Gwen, blindfolded, swung Martin's staff at the Harkonnen piñata. She hit it on the leg, sending it spinning and showering candy all over their friends. A cheer went up from the group, and they all scurried to gather as much off the floor as they could. The dark-haired girl said,
"What a bunch of dorks."
Sid said,
"Quiet."
The boy said, "I don't know. They aren't hurting anyone.
But it's all kind of self-indulgent, isn't it?"
The girl said,
"It is their wedding day."
The boy said, "I understand that it's their wedding. I just didn't expect it to be a big, extravagant party like this. That's just meant to impress their friends." The girl laughed.
"You didn't expect that? Are you sure you understand what a wedding is?"
The boy scowled. "I just didn't think they'd be so, I don't know, frivolous." Gilbert patted the boy on the back.
"Don't judge them too harshly. They were young."
The girl said, "I'm just surprised that they invited an enemy to their wedding."
"Just because they might be enemies now doesn't mean they always were, does it?"
Sid said.
"And anyway, we promised to show you how Martin and Gwen were when they were younger. We didn't promise that you'd like them, or that what you saw would make sense."
Gilbert nodded.
"You need to have a real understanding of who your parents are if you're going to have a chance at saving them."
This has been an Audible Original Publishing production of Out of Spite, Out of Mind, Book 5 of the Magic 2.0 series, written by Scott Meyer, performed by Luke Daniels. Executive producers Steve Feldberg and Mike Charzik. Producer Kat Lambrix. Edited by Mark Galoop. Mastered by Brett Lubansky. Copyright 2017 by Scott Meyer. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible Originals, LLC.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.